From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, February 13th, 2026. The Maine Bureau of Motor Vehicles is no longer allowing non-English speaking people to use an interpreter of their choice to take driving exams. Steve Missler has more.
The state began providing free interpreter services February 1st amid scrutiny from the legislature's Government Oversight Committee that some interpreters were helping applicants cheat on their exams. According to the Secretary of State, the pass rate for commercial driver's license applicants using interpreters is similar to those who speak English, about 70%, but some examiners found that the pass rate was closer to 100% when certain interpreters were used. Officials for the BMV told the Oversight Committee on Friday that it has contracted with three interpreter firms also used by the court system. The move helped persuade the Oversight Committee to shelve a possible investigation by the legislature's watchdog agency. According to the BMV, Maine drivers were involved in more than 62,000 accidents last year. Non-citizen drivers were involved in 1.5% of those accidents. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Governor Janet Mills says she will now attend the annual National Governors Association business meeting at the White House next week. The governor's decision follows a dust-up between President Donald Trump and leaders of the NGA over who was invited and who wasn't. She will not attend the NGA dinner at the White House along with 17 other Democratic governors who are boycotting the event. The NGA's White House business meeting was the setting for Mills' confrontation with Trump nearly 1 year ago, setting the stage for her eventual run for the U.S. Senate. Two of Maine's top public safety officials told lawmakers today that state and federal law enforcement continue to work together on other issues, despite the lack of cooperation during the recent immigration crackdown. Kevin Miller reports.
Maine State Police Colonel William Ross said it was, quote, frustrating that his agency was kept in the dark about the federal operations. But Republican lawmakers questioned the state police's own policy that prohibits cooperation on immigration enforcement. Republican Representative Jeff Timberlake pressed Public Safety Commissioner Michael Soschuk on relations between local police departments in western and northern Maine that sometimes depend on Border Patrol agents for backup, and vice versa.
Are we responding the same as we did before when they call for help, or are we questioning what they're doing before they respond?
I think we're responding exactly the same way, because they're not.
So again, nothing's changed.
They're not asking us for assistance with immigration. And if there's an officer safety issue, then we're going to respond. So I don't believe there's been any change in that regard.
Soschuk said state and local police continue to work with their federal counterparts on criminal investigations. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Former State Representative Jeff Evangelos, a lawmaker known for his work on criminal justice issues, has died. Evangelos, an independent, represented Friendship and several other towns in Lincoln and Knox counties for 8 years. During that time, he was a vocal advocate for reinstating parole and other criminal justice reforms. He also called for increased transparency around investigations into police shootings and around the Maine Information and Analysis Center, a so-called fusion center that partners with federal agencies on criminal and terrorism investigations. Evangelos had been battling cancer. He was 73. The University of Maine is considering removing former Senator George Mitchell's name from both a center and a scholarship. Maddie Smith has more.
The announcement comes after Mitchell's name appeared in new documents released by the U.S. Justice Department related to the investigation of convicted child sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. UMaine officials say they will launch a task force to make recommendations related to institutional naming. The school is home to a sustainability center that bears Mitchell's name and to the Mitchell Peace Scholarship, which allows Maine students to study abroad in Ireland. Mitchell, who is 92, has denied any wrongdoing in connection with Epstein. Other institutions say they are considering changes. Officials at Mitchell's alma mater, Bowdoin College, which named its library's special collections and archive for him, say they are reviewing the information that has become available. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is ending rules aimed at reducing climate pollution from cars and trucks. The Trump administration announced yesterday that it was repealing the endangerment finding, a foundational section of the Clean Air Act. Jack Shapiro, Climate and Clean Energy Director at the Natural Resources Council of Maine, says the move will create a complex and burdensome state-by-state regulatory landscape.
I don't think that we actually want to have 50 different sets of state policies and state regulations on some of these really important things like our power sector and power plants, like our auto industry.
Several national environmental groups have vowed to sue the Trump administration over the decision. Portland residents can expect to find red paper hearts plastered across the city tomorrow, evidence that the Valentine Bandit has struck again. Kevin Farman was revealed as the Bandit after he died in 2023. His daughter, Sierra, says she has handed the tradition off to someone else who wants to keep it anonymous. Farman says she established a foundation to celebrate all of the good things her father did for numerous causes.
I established the foundation to humanize him again from this, like, mystic being or this hero figure and say that he, beyond just doing the Bandit, that was who he was in all facets of his life.
Farman says the foundation has raised $13,000 and distributed the funds to five local nonprofits. A new advisory group will monitor the challenges facing Maine's working waterfronts and recommend policy fixes. Under the Office of Community Affairs, the 15-member Working Waterfront Advisory Council is made up of business owners, marine experts, and local government officials. It will initially focus on issues related to flood insurance, land use planning, and permitting. About 20 miles of Maine's coastline is considered working waterfront. The group will submit annual recommendations to the legislature. Much of the competition is winding down for the four Mainers participating in this year's Winter Olympics in Milan and Cortina. 23-year-old alpine skier Sam Morse of Carabasset Valley has completed his first Olympics bid. He finished 19th in the downhill and 23rd in the Super G. 32-year-old Portland native Emily Fischnaller placed 12th overall in women's singles luge. And 21-year-old Nate Perry of Bethel was disqualified from the quarterfinals in the snowboard cross. Perry, making his Olympic debut, had appeared to finish first, but the result was challenged because the competitor from Spain crashed after clipping the back of Perry's board. Perry may compete Sunday if he's chosen for the mixed snowboard cross team. Bethel native Frank Del Duca, meanwhile, will compete in the men's bobsled starting on Monday. Caribou native Jessica Meir is headed back to the International Space Station as a member of NASA's SpaceX crew that launched from Cape Canaveral this morning. Meir is serving as spacecraft commander on the mission. She's one of four astronauts that will replace the crew that returned early last month due to an unexpected medical issue. It's expected to take up to 24 hours to reach the ISS. This is Meir's second trip to the space station since becoming a NASA astronaut in 2013. She's expected to be in space for roughly 8 months. A surge of immigration and customs enforcement activity in Maine last month led to over 200 arrests, according to the Department of Homeland Security. Now, many of those taken into custody are filing legal challenges, and some are being released on bond. But their pathway to being granted asylum here in the U.S. remains uncertain. On January 22nd, Delfino Unsuka says about half a dozen ICE officers pulled him over in Lewiston on his way home from work as a FedEx driver. Nsuka, an asylum seeker from Angola, says he showed the officers his driver license, work permit, and social security card. But it wasn't enough. Nsuka says the agents put him in handcuffs and drove him away.
I was very scared, but I'm just praying, and just hoping God just protect me because I didn't know what to do and I didn't know where I was going at all.
Like many of those arrested during the surge last month, Nsuka was swiftly transferred out of state to a detention facility in Massachusetts. ICE has shared very little about the people it arrested in Maine last month, but like Nsuka, many were asylum seekers with no criminal records, according to lawyers, family members, and employers. Robin Nice, an immigration lawyer in Boston, is representing six asylum seeker clients from Maine arrested during the surge. She says ICE technically does have the authority to detain people with pending asylum claims, but historically hasn't done so.
But now, all of a sudden, everyone is fair game.
Nice says this new approach isn't always standing up in court. Three of her main clients have already been released, and the other three have upcoming bond hearings. But she says the seemingly random nature of the sweep could be a Trump administration tactic to push immigrants towards self-deporting.
Scare people into giving up and to make people think that it's going to be too hard or that they will arbitrarily be picked up and forced to leave.
Nice says being arrested can alter the course of someone's asylum application by potentially moving it to a defensive or more adversarial track within the immigration court system. And she says even those whose cases continue normally could end up being ordered to restart the whole process somewhere else under a safe third country agreement.
So people are getting deportation orders to a country that they have never set foot in and have no ties to.
NICE has filed what's known as habeas corpus petitions in federal court on behalf of her clients, challenging the basis of their detentions. It's part of a national flood of similar cases. Immigrants have filed more than 18,000 habeas petitions during the first year of the Trump administration, according to ProPublica. That's more than were filed during the past three administrations combined. One analysis by a federal judge in New York found that immigrants are prevailing in the vast majority of these cases. Some recently arrested Maine residents are finding similar results, says Sean Chatterjee, a Massachusetts-based immigration attorney. In two recent cases, he says, the government barely challenged his motions seeking bond hearings.
The government's attorneys didn't even really file oppositions. They were more just waving the white flag.
Unless there's a change in circumstances, such as involvement in a criminal case, Chatterjee says ICE should be less likely to detain those clients again.
But it's not impossible. You know, I mean, I think these days we're seeing that ICE is capable of just about anything.
It's a fear that still hangs over Delfino Nsuka, the Angolan asylum seeker in Lewiston. He was released on bond after 15 days in ICE custody. His lawyer, Sarah Hassan, said in an email that Nsuka had a few key factors working in his favor. He originally entered the country on a visa, he has no criminal record, and he's married to an American citizen, offering another potential path to permanent status. Still, Nsuka, who's lived in Maine since he was a teenager, says being suddenly picked up by ICE in his hometown has destabilized his sense of belonging.
Because I feel like I'm not wanted here or something, you know, like that's how I feel deep down.
Like many of those arrested during the ICE surge, Nsuka says he's confused about why he was picked up to begin with. He says his focus has always been working, providing for his family, and following a legal immigration pathway toward asylum. Because he was arrested, his lawyer says his case has been moved to the more adversarial defensive track, meaning Nsuka may have to prove his case in front of a judge rather than through an interview with an immigration officer. He and his wife are also saving up to begin the process of adjusting his status through their marriage. For now, Nsuka says he's just trying to restart his life. He plans to get back to work for FedEx on Monday. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.